There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to the Janice Dean Podcast. Thank you for coming back every week to listen. I'm so grateful I get to spend time bringing you my favorite people on this show. And I've brought back two of your favorite people I get the pleasure of working with every morning, Ainsley Earhart and Carly Shimkus. Ainsley has a new children's book coming out this week called I'm So Glad You Were Born, which is a perfect title because every time someone has a birthday, Ainsley says that and it makes everyone smile. And our friend Carly just announced that she is going to have a baby boy very soon. So I thought it would be fun to chat about that exciting news as well. Back by popular demand.
Really?
It's Ainsley and Carly.
Aww.
Yeah, I do think this has been one of the top rated programs.
Really?
No way.
Yeah. We got to make this good. We need juicy conversation.
Pressure's on. Let's talk about our 20s.
Oh,
wow.
Not everything.
We're not that great. I feel like my 30s, I was on the path. And then my 40s, I was having kids and raising kids. My 50s have been the best, though, I'll tell
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Something to look forward to because you just have this appreciation of what your path was. And you have enough experience that you can kind of know what the BS is. And not care. Well, not necessarily not care, but be able to call it out and also be stand up for yourself.
Yeah. Like, and kids are not little anymore.
Right.
So it's a little easier,
right.
Probably.
These are all things we look forward to, but I have to say my 50s are, I've come in strong.
I actually didn't even know you were in your 50s.
Oh,
you look like you're in your very,
yeah, remember,
like, late
30s,
early
40s. Were you on our show when we were planning her 50th birthday and we were all going to go to Vegas?
Right.
And it was right before the pandemic. So
yes,
then her husband brought Vegas to their house.
Yeah. Oh, I remember hearing about
this. It
was
really good.
We were trying to decide whether Vegas or we were going to go to Nashville, a bunch of girls. Oh, we were going to do it up, like, for 50. But I have to say,
you would have been invited, Carly. But you weren't on the show at that point.
I wasn't.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We were planning lots of fun stuff. But I have to say, you know, we made the best of it. And to wake up the next day and have my husband really think about how to celebrate during a pandemic when we couldn't go out and had such tragedy in our life. I mean, the fact that he did that after losing both of his parents was just, I tear up thinking about it. He ordered stuff online to make my living room like a casino.
Are you kidding?
It was cool. He had a huge backdrop that, like, he hung on the wall behind her, and she was on air because it was her birthday, and he said, "Look what my husband did," and the whole wall was covered. It looked like Vegas.
It did. He did, and then friends of his brought over, you know, real game pieces for roulette. And then he planned a party. Well, not a party, obviously, because you couldn't be with people. He got my friends and some of my family to come in and do a car parade around the neighborhood.
Oh,
my gosh. It was like, I was just in tears. It was just such a beautiful moment. Yeah.
Wow. And is this sort of his personality? Is that his love? There's love languages,
so
right?
Nice.
And I guess that's like a giving
He's a
language.
Quiet guy. It's funny. I was at this event, beautiful event. I was being honored by our former governor, Pataki. There's a Freedom Award that he gives every year on 9/11. He was our governor on 9/11.
Yeah.
And he, you know, sent me this beautiful note saying, "I'd like to honor what you've done for New York, for people that lost loved ones by giving you our Freedom Award. It only goes to a couple of people every year." I'm going to get choked up. But Sean came with me, and it was a tough day for him. He lost 12 of his men that day on 9/11 from his firehouse. Every guy that was working that day, they lost their lives. And so he came with me. He was in his uniform, and I had to say a few words. And I talked about that day, 9/11, being so important for our country's history because our freedom was attacked. And the fact that I was able to use the freedom to go up against
what I believe was a corrupt government, a government that didn't care about our seniors during COVID. That was the connection from those guys going in that day to try to save others, to fight for our freedom, to, you know, everyone that went into Afghanistan to also fight for our freedom. For me to have that ability to go out there and say, our government did something wrong that affected my family. So I was saying this and I looked over at him. And, you know, he was just looking at me and I said, you know, I'm up here accepting this award and my husband is the hero. He should be up here. But he's such a quiet guy. And I have a picture that someone took of him in the audience looking up at me. And I'll never forget that because, you know, I feel like he's the one. He's the one that gives me strength. He's the one that is my rock, the best man I've ever known, the father of my children. You know, the reason I came to New York, he's there in the audience. And, you know, so he is a quiet hero.
Yeah. Well, you're both fighters in different ways. He's, you know, physically fighting on the front lines as a firefighter. You use your words and use them so well.
Aww.
Which is why, you know, you are in the position that you are today.
Well, I saw that picture you tweeted on Instagram, or you put out on Instagram, and it was the firehouse, the list of all the guys who died that's still hanging up.
Yeah.
But it was the call sheet of who's working that day.
They call it the riding.
Was he was off that day?
He was off that day. He was legitimately off that day. He still carries survivor's guilt because the ones that were on duty died.
Were you all married at that point?
We weren't. We met a year after.
Okay.
We met in December of 2002. And actually, we would not have met had it not been for 9/11. That's something that my kids know now. Because my oldest son was learning about 9/11 in his class. They actually had them interview both of us and ask where we were on that day. And obviously, you know, his story is much more in depth and more tragic than most people's. But Sean said, you know, if 9/11 hadn't happened, I wouldn't have met your mom, because he went on a trip to Hawaii, something that he has always wanted to do. He went by himself, not, you know, a few months. It was November of 2002 that he went to Hawaii on his own. It's something that he's always wanted to do. And after that event, he just said, you know what, I'm going to do all the things I've wanted to do my whole life. And one of them was go to Hawaii. And he's a surfer. He was going to surf that day. The surf was too high. So he decided to go on a hike. And on that hike, he met my friends Leanne and Tony. And they met each other and got to know one another. And over dinner, my friend Leanne said, oh, well, you live in New York. My girlfriend Janice just moved there. She doesn't know anybody. And you should meet each other. And that's how we met.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's something beautiful that came out of tragedy.
Yeah. And so then he called you?
Well, email, actually. I forget. I think I emailed him first. And to be honest with you, when my friend Leanne said, hey, I met this guy in Hawaii while I was on my honeymoon with Tony, you should meet him, I, at that point, didn't like what I was doing. I was in a different job. I was overwhelmed by New York. I didn't know anyone. And I was thinking of, like, going back home. And she said, but you don't, you know, he can just be a friend. Just go out and meet him. And we had breakfast in December of 2002. And I wanted to see the Rockefeller Christmas tree. And we were emailing back and forth and we were going to do that. And then we were going to have breakfast like right across the street, because Rockefeller Center also has like a little breakfast place, but it wasn't open at the time because he was getting off of a 24-hour shift and I was getting off my morning shift. So we decided to walk by St. Patrick's Cathedral, and we found a little diner. What was it called? I can't remember what it's called. It's not there anymore, but it was amazing. I can't believe I can't remember what it's called. But we had breakfast there, and it wasn't a love at first sight thing, but it was a comfortable thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a nice guy, easy to talk to. And, you know, and he told me, you know, what had happened to him on 9/11. And I, you know, I didn't even know what to say. It was so fresh.
Yeah.
But we kept in touch, and the love connection came a few months later. Mm-hmm. And I remember when that happened, because we were having dinner, beers, and French fries at a Belgian
diner, whatever it was. Sounds like love to me.
And I remember going to the restroom and thinking, I think I really like this guy.
Oh, isn't that the best feeling, too?
Yeah.
The comfortable love.
Okay, so I have talked way too much.
No,
this is supposed to be about both of you.
So wait, did you kiss him that night?
Yes, that was the night where we had our first kiss.
Oh,
nice.
Yes.
So he liked you all along then.
I know. I think we both talked about it. Like our first.
He definitely liked you all.
Well, I think we liked each other in the way of easy to talk to. He said I talk too much. And when I'm nervous, I talk too much. So, you know, we were at this little, the Prime Burger. It just came to me.
There you go.
It's not there anymore.
And love is made.
You know what? And that's where he proposed to me.
Wait, is that part of the Prime chain? Like, I know there's Prime Steak, right?
I don't know.
No, okay.
But those restaurants are nice.
I remember going there the first time, and again, this was 20 years ago, and saying, I recognize this restaurant because it was in an episode of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
It had like little cafeteria style tables.
Yeah. So it looked old school kind of.
Yeah. So I remember that. And just looking back, you know, he said, well, you know, you had crazy hair, because I did have crazy hair back then.
You've got great hair.
Well, it was short and my hair is curly and I have a lot of it. So it kind of looked like, I don't know, like it didn't, it, you know, it looked like.
It was big.
It was big and weird.
But I bet it was cute.
No, it wasn't.
You're taking me back to those years. Remember those years when like you moved, you get a new job, everyone at Fox, we'd all hang out together, which I'd love to all the time. Now we're moms, you know, get ready, Carly.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that too.
Yeah.
But to
remember how much fun that was? Like you'd go find these little restaurants and just have beers all day during the day.
Also after you go out
at night
and then you're at a diner at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Totally, yes.
Which like if I did that now, I'd be late for work.
Right.
Severely.
And you'd be wasted at work. Which would not be good.
Which can't happen.
To put a button in this story, Sean proposed to me in front of the Prime Burger, but it was closed that day. He was planning to do it. We were going to go for breakfast. Yeah, of course.
Every restaurant's closed.
Scaffolding everywhere. And we went, and I was so hungry because I remember I was studying for broadcast meteorology. That was a, you know, courses I was taking to become a broadcast meteorologist, and I was in a grumpy mood. He's like, let's go and have breakfast somewhere. I said, okay. So we started walking, and all of a sudden we're at the Prime Burger, and it's closed. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm hungry. Let's go somewhere else. And he didn't know what to do. And I just remember looking at him. And all of a sudden, he just got down on one knee in front of like the closed Prime Burger. And there was scaffolding everywhere and proposed to me.
And you said yes.
I said yes.
Aww.
That's cute.
Aww. That is a cute story. Now you have two beautiful boys.
Yes. And so here we are, full circle, you know. So obviously, 9/11 is a terrible day in our history. But through a tragic moment comes sunshine.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
After the storm. Amen. Okay, so we have to talk about babies because the last time we did our podcast together, we knew that Carly was pregnant, but we couldn't say
anything. Yes, because you're not supposed to announce it in your first trimester. But I was telling everybody. I looked at Ains. This is how I told both of you very, very early on, like even before some of my actual blood family members know.
No, you told me before even someone more important.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to. Can we talk about that?
Sure. I mean, no. Okay. You know what?
I understand.
Is he going to listen to this?
No, probably
not. Okay, so yeah, we can say.
And
Carly told Ainsley
before her husband. And if anybody that's listening knows my husband, keep it a secret.
Up.
Mom's the word. So what happened was I found out my husband primarily lives in Chicago and works in Chicago. By the way, we're going to be getting rid of the Chicago place, which is great because now we're having a baby. But I found out I was pregnant about 5 minutes after he walked out of the door to go to the airport to go to Chicago. It was on a Sunday. And so I had to wait a week to tell him because that's not something you say over the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that Monday, I found out hours earlier on Sunday.
Can I ask you something personal? You took a pregnancy test after he left?
Yes. I took a pregnancy test. I hadn't.
You just weren't thinking about it before.
No, I wasn't thinking about it. But I said, you know what? Let me just. I hadn't.
Let me
see
if we had a good weekend.
Let's just.
I'm kidding.
Let's see if we had a good weekend 4 weekends ago.
Right.
We did. So then it was positive, and we had been trying for about a year. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I took the test, too, because I was so sure it was going to be negative, because they've all been negative.
Right.
And then when it was positive, I was like, wow,
it really does work. That moment, right? I just remember. You never forget that moment.
Right. So I look at I actually was like, how am I going to tell Ainsley and Janice?
What time was this? What time of day?
Oh, it was like 5 right before I was going to go to bed. I go to bed at around 6 for Fox and Friends first. And then try sleeping. You know, try sleeping after that.
Right.
So.
And when was the next time you were going to see your husband?
Really, that Saturday. Yeah.
And you never.
I was filling in for Rachel that day, so we didn't get to see each other because of our schedule.
You never thought about telling him over the phone?
I didn't want to.
Okay.
I just wanted it to be in person and special. Because to be honest, he really was the one who wanted a baby almost even more than I did. I've always wanted a child, but because of my career, you just worry about the work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And I think for men, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So, but he's going to be such a great dad. So I really wanted to do it in person. So I said, okay, we're going to have to wait a week. And I was like, Carly, I was like, I know myself. I'm going to start telling people, but I said, no, Pete's going to be the first one to know. I look at Ainsley. We're in the stairwell, and I just look at her in the eyes and go, I'm pregnant. she jumps up, gives me a big hug. And it was the same thing, really, for you, Janice, too. I was like, I have to tell you something.
I know. There is something really special about telling your girlfriends.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you want to tell your husband, but, man, telling those girlfriends.
The girls at work, though, is, like, it's more understandable. Like, your husband will be okay with if the girls at work knew beforehand, and you had to wait a week.
Yes.
But if it's like, your best friends knew before he did that, and not that we're not best friends because we are best friends at work, all of us.
Yeah,
but it's like I don't know who you went to college with or your best friends from high school.
I gotta be honest, I told my best friends before.
Oh, you did?
It's okay, but you have to tell someone.
It's all right. It was just I couldn't keep it inside myself for a full week.
Yeah.
If he knew this, he would totally understand.
It's such happy
Absolutely.
News. He wouldn't care.
So it was really cute. So I had a week to actually do something kind of a little bit, you know, it wasn't like just showing him the stick that I just peed on. It was a little bit more special. So I got a little onesie and it said, I can't wait to meet you, Daddy, on it. Something cute like that. And I had just filled in for Rachel. So I got home from work and I was kind of nervous. Yeah. You know, in those big moments, you just kind of nervous.
It's all you thought about that whole show, right?
Yeah, especially in the cab. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. I cannot wait for this moment. So I distracted him by something. I said, can you do something in whatever, the bedroom or something? Go grab me something. And then I laid out the onesie and, you know, made it kind of like pretty with some other things. And then I was like, oh, wait, Pete, come here. And then I showed it to him. And his reaction was he stared at it for like, longer than it was like 30 seconds and it was like he was processing and then he looked at me and he was just like is this us and he because and then he was just huge smile and huge hugs and I've never seen him cry. He is not an emotional person. Besides one time we were watching Saving Private Ryan and I think I saw a tear fall. But aside from that, and he was just so emotional and it was such a beautiful moment. And he was thinking, he was like, is this a baby shower we're going to? And she's showing me the gift because we've been trying for so long. So it was a moment that I'll truly never forget. It was such a special day too.
You know, we talked about this. I'm glad that you let that moment happen between the two of you, because I think people are so onto social media now. You want to capture the moment on video. Because I did ask you that. I was like, did someone, you know, film it? Because, do you want it for a moment?
Yeah.
But I'm so glad you didn't.
Yeah. And I thought about it. I thought about hiding my phone to film it. But I knew that if he's shy.
Yes.
He's a shy person. He's not a camera guy either. And I knew that if you saw it, it would ruin the moment.
Real,
and also, I'm going to remember it forever. And that's all that,
that's all,
you know, matters.
Yeah. I think that's a good life lesson,
There's
too.
There's some things that need to not be filmed and just be between the two of you.
Yes. That's correct.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. We'll have more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. I'm so happy. And then, of course, we taped. We're taping the show right now. It happened right after Steve Ducey and his son Peter and his wife Hillary were on the show announcing their pregnancy.
Yes. No,
that's so happy. I mean, for Steve to see his son and his, you know, his beautiful new daughter announcing a baby, yeah, that's pretty
and
awesome.
And his son growing up in this, you know, in this atmosphere at Fox News, watching his dad on TV, then he you know, goes into the same profession, and then now he's asking the tough questions at the White House.
Isn't that
great? Gets married to another correspondent
at
the White
House. Who does an amazing job, both of them.
Oh, both of them do.
Yeah.
And then they have their baby.
That's great.
It's really cool.
So she's due just 2 or 3 days before I am, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, and then you start to go, I'm like, wow, she looks really good.
Oh.
Am I showing more? Is this a me thing? You know, you just always,
you look so good.
Yeah, by the way, I love it. I told her, I was like, Hillary, you look incredible.
You're so tall, you won't even gain a pound. You're just all a baby.
Oh, you know what? I already gained 17. That's what the scale said.
You can't tell.
No, and
Worry
about that stuff.
I don't mean that in a bad
way. All baby.
I think I gained like 40 pounds. So,
yeah. I mean, you do have another person inside of you.
Yeah. And who cares? You want to nourish him. You want to keep him healthy.
And I understand that it's a weird thing being pregnant on television because you are, whether you know it or not, you are a little bit like you're cognizant of the fact that you are expanding. Mm-hmm. I had to be pregnant on a green screen doing the weather. Mm-hmm. I actually got emails about that. Like, hey, you're blocking Mississippi where I live.
Stop it. No.
No, I am dead serious.
Really?
Yeah.
You should have just pointed to the States with your stomach.
You should have had an arrow on your stomach and this.
Right. Like, even though you're like, I don't care, you know, I love the fact that I'm pregnant. There is something weird about being on TV and you're pregnant and you're very like, you know, you're self-aware of that. But I don't want you to be.
No,
I
don't mind being pregnant on TV, especially now that I can let it all out because it's I already told people. But it's OK. I'm not a self-conscious person like that. I don't mind.
OK.
Yeah.
Enjoy every moment.
Thanks.
It's so fun.
And you won't block Mississippi.
I won't block Mississippi.
Right.
I think the person thought they were being funny, but it wasn't funny.
Oh, I could see where that would be kind of like a funny email, but you'd be like, whoa.
I think it is.
You think it's a little funny?
Yeah, you're blocking Mississippi. It's like my baby as I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's a sign of a healthy, good.
Yeah. I guess so.
I mean, nowadays you probably can't say that, but.
No. And then there was
you can't
back then it was
nowadays.
Kind of funny.
Yeah.
There was a coworker here who no longer works here. I remember this.
Uh-oh.
I was, you know, probably just about to have Theodore. I was 8.5 months pregnant, and I was walking down the hallway downstairs, the green room where it used to be from mm-hmm. Fox and Friends. And I remember this person thinking that they were funny, but doing like a truck backing up, like beep, beep.
Oh,
beep,
I don't think that's funny.
Beep. That's not funny at all.
And then this person said, wide load. You know, be careful, everybody. Here comes the wide load.
I think the Mississippi thing is funnier. That's kind of mean.
I know some ladies that would come up to me that were known to be a little catty, and they would come up to me and say, you're definitely having a girl. And,
oh my
you know,
gosh.
They say girls steal your beauty, or they say you show more, you gain more weight with girls. I didn't. Honestly, I was like, okay.
I don't
care what they think.
You're so unflappable.
Well, thank you. But I was just like, whatever. Do you know how hard I tried to have this baby?
Yes.
You know how long I prayed for this baby? I don't care what you say.
And she's so perfect.
Thank you. But I was like, you know, whatever.
I know, but it does hurt. It's hurtful.
It's just, for me, it was more of just the audacity.
It's like, wow, this
really?
Is kind of, yeah,
what
this
is that
mean?
What you're doing?
Yeah.
This is a negative reflection on you.
You just want to be mean, you're okay with being mean.
Yeah.
Like,
so how was your pregnancy? Feeling, like, did
I
you
loved
feel
it.
Good?
I loved it, yeah. I did.
Good.
And I knew that might be my only one. So I was 39. So, and we lost a baby. Then we got pregnant 3 months after we lost the baby. So God knew I was supposed to have Hayden.
Yes.
So, but I loved every moment of it. I liked eating. I would go to that fresh, you know, downstairs and I would get an English muffin toasted every day with peanut butter on it that would melt. How we grew up, you know? I used to love to eat that. Now I can't eat that because I'll, you know, be massive. I have to watch what I eat. So, and then I would get tons of jelly on top of it.
Mm.
And I would eat that, two of them, open-faced. It was so good. Because Suzanne Scott, our boss, said, I ate a bagel every day. She said, just let yourself do it. And then I breastfed and it all just comes off.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. You'll be fine.
I wish I could still breastfeed.
I know. You'll notice it comes like 5 pounds a day.
Janice moonlights as a wet nurse.
But you do it. I'm, you know, for the men out there, I'm sorry. This is maybe too much information.
How do women do that? How do you reproduce milk if you didn't have a baby?
That I don't know.
I think wet nurses, like in medieval times, they would always have to have a baby and then they just keep on breastfeeding.
But we interviewed a lady when they couldn't find the baby formula and she said, I stopped breastfeeding and then I had to start back when I couldn't find milk. So I was like, how did she do that?
I don't know.
I didn't ask her on air because I didn't know what she would say if it would be too much for a morning show.
Right. Yep. Maybe you know what your instincts were right there.
Maybe it's a hormone thing. Maybe you have to be injected
with. Maybe the doctor can, give you something.
Or maybe she stopped for like a week or something.
But you're feeling good, right? Because with Matthew, I was very sick for the first 4 months. Yeah. I tried everything. I actually took some time off work. I was so.
But not Theodore?
No,
that's
not Theodore.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, a lot of my girlfriends who have two, and just people, I'm learning every pregnancy is so different for the same woman.
It was very different.
Yeah, wow.
I even went and had acupuncture done, which actually helped.
It did?
Yep.
Did
yep.
you feel better after the first trimester?
Yes.
Yeah. So did I.
I still was a little bit not feeling great, but it was the first trimester that was really tough.
Like, what is that like? Like you're physically.
Oh, you just
vomiting?
Feel like you're.
Ainsley, you didn't.
No,
you never had morning sickness.
But
at
I've
all.
Watched. I've watched that Amy Schumer special. Y'all watched that?
No, she had it.
Bless her
like
heart.
An illness, right?
Yeah, I think she had what.
Through the
one
whole
of my friends
thing.
Had that. Yeah, I think didn't Kate Middleton
yes.
have that too?
That's what I was thinking.
Yes. Yep.
Kate
she did.
And had three pregnancies. Did I she know. Have that with all three kids?
I think she did. Yeah. I think she was sort of.
She had really
predisposition to it.
Wait, so you never had a day?
I guess you
got to
produce an heir, though, right? They're like, you don't have a choice.
Tough life, but somebody has to do it,
right? Well, I did not have that.
Wow.
Thank you. I mean, thank goodness.
You know what
thank
it feels like to me? It felt like car sickness. It just felt, that's what I would describe it like.
Okay.
Is that how you would? It's probably different for people.
It just was a terrible feeling of feeling like you were going to be sick all the time and it would never go away.
And for me, I would always get it. Who knows? It may happen again in the third.
No, I don't think you're, I think you're fine.
It was always, I think it was also like maybe like right at the start of Fox and Friends first, like when I was rushing down to the studio every morning. Because I think they had to have something to do with how I was already feeling. Like maybe like my anxiety was up or something. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm anxious before the show, but I was like, oh my God, it's 3:55. How did I? Why does this keep happening? You know, you think you have so much time. So that's where my anxiousness lies. And then I was like, ugh. But now it's gone. So I feel good. I feel good now.
And you have a lot of girlfriends who will step you through it because.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It is. I'm not going to lie. Having a baby is like an eye opener.
Yeah.
You really don't know what. It doesn't matter how many books you read.
Good, because I haven't read any.
Yeah, we're here for you.
Yeah.
We will tell you. I have a great, if you have trouble breastfeeding, I have a lady that will come to your house that like everyone's used her at Fox. She's great.
Is she a wet nurse? No, I'm just joking.
No.
Is her name Diane?
God, it's been 6.5 years.
I bet you it is.
Is it? Let me look.
I think her name is Diane.
I can't believe Hayden's almost 7.
I know. Let me look. Do you remember her name?
Because
older than mine.
I had help from her as well.
Okay, I'm looking up breast.
What does she help you
with? I'm looking
up the word. Just like being a new mom, if you're having problems with breastfeeding.
What would she be called? I looked up breast.
I just put Diane the doula.
Maybe a baby nurse?
Diane.
She's kind of a doula. She was there to help me kind of before the event.
Is it Diane?
I don't know what her last name is, actually. Should we even be giving that kind of information on that?
Probably not.
Well, you said she was good. It's a compliment.
She's fabulous. I do believe that a lot of people here at Fox have...
Jessica Tarlov was talking to me about... she called it either a baby nurse or a sleep specialist or something.
I think she was...
There's all these sorts of things.
Lactation specialist.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
yeah.
Here we go. No, her name was Sherry.
Okay, and that's something that's really tough too. We put so much pressure on moms to breastfeed, and although it is really important, and I did it, I had a hard time with Matthew, so I ended up pumping for 8 months because he just wouldn't latch on. I did.
Pumping takes a long time too. And the machines are unbelievable.
Get the one
looking.
From the hospital, the hospital grade one. It goes really fast.
Oh, does it?
I was about to show you with the hands, right? I know.
So I have a really funny story about
breast
milk.
Don't let your husband see it. It's not cute.
It is the least sexy thing.
And then we'll go to the next topic.
Yes. Okay, if the men are.
This is funny though.
Okay. We're talking about breasts. They better not be changing the channel.
So I had stored up a lot of breast milk for Theodore, my second, and Hurricane Irene came through the New York area. This was before Sandy, and we were concerned that the power was going to go out, and I had a stash of breast milk, and I said to my husband, I'm like, go get a generator. And he's like, what? I'm like, there's a hurricane. The power could go out. We can't lose power. Do you know how long it took me to get this stash of frozen breast milk? And he's like, okay, Amazon.com, here comes the generator. And that's why we have a generator, because I just thought to myself, I thought of nothing else except how awful it would be of all those hours of pumping, having it all go down the tubes, literally, because of a hurricane and a power outage.
So true. So. You work so hard to get that milk. And then we also are crazy because we're like, if we lost all that milk, our child, their IQ, they're not going to do as well on SATs. They're not going to get into college.
And it's like none of this is true.
Crazy. No, it's not true. I have talked to many healthy people who have gone to all of those Ivy League schools that did not have breast milk.
Could you imagine that was like a question they ask? For your Ivy League application, it's like breast milk or formula.
Right.
Thank God.
I'm judging
but
you.
But don't, you know, you can get overwhelmed with things that you have to do and just cut yourself some slack. Because
it's so fun.
And we'll talk you down.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more sunshine right after this. Speaking of babies and what you're going to read to your children, Ainsley has a new children's book.
Thank you. You have to tell us about it because it comes out tomorrow, the 27th, because I know this is going to air on the 26th. So it comes out on the 27th. It's called I'm So Glad You Were Born, because we all say that on Fox and Friends.
That's the best phrase.
Well, thank you. So I said it on air when I first got the job. It was Steve Doocy's birthday, I believe. And I said, I'm so glad you were born. And the whole, you know, everyone behind the cameras were laughing.
Yeah, because
it's cute. But it's like, that's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. They say, but we say it in the South, and my mom always said it on our birthdays. So, but I was like, you know what? It's important. It's the day you're born. So then months later, his wife wrote us in the middle of the show and said, I have an idea for Ainsley's next children's book. She should name it I'm So Glad You Were Born. So thank you, Kathy Doocy, for coming up with this title. Yeah, but it's basically just fun. Have fun with your children. In the beginning, I was like writing sappy, sweet, like rhyming books. This one rhymes too, but they were more lyrical. Mm-hmm. This one is just something my mom always said that's fun. Like we have dance parties in our house. You know, you do the jokes in the lunch boxes. We all have our little things that we do with our kids because we just want them to always look back at us and know we were awesome moms. We were fun. Yeah. I try not to yell. I try just to have diplomatic conversations with my daughter, which might sound ridiculous, but I grew up in a house where it was old school, like the yelling and the spanking and all that. And even though my parents' discipline helped all of us, I can discipline in a different way because I don't want to be like that. So I just want our house to be fun. That's all it's about. Just I'm so glad you were born, and let's celebrate it for the rest of your life. Every single day. Every day can be your birthday. But it's a good birthday book. It's a good book if you're going to a baby shower or if you have grandkids.
Oh, it's going to be so successful.
Did Hayden help with it?
She did. So a lot of the pictures, the illustrator has children too. So we talked and she did illustrations based on her kitchen or my kitchen, or I told her about our dance parties that we have this big Tupperware container full of instruments. We bring it out and we blare the music and we run around the house. And I have videos of Hayden growing up every stage of her life with us doing dance parties. So I think we're going to air some of that on the show, which is cute. And so we discussed that. So Hayden will flip through the page and say, oh, there's me. And this is, you know, so it's cute. And it's all colors, all walks of life, all shapes, all sizes of children.
That must have put a smile on your face to even write. It just seems like it was a joy. Was it fun to write?
I love the other two books based on what I was going through, trying to get pregnant, getting pregnant, and then having the baby and what I learned from her. But this is like, we're past all of that. We're past all of the
those are wonderful years, and I love the baby stage. Three was kind of hard. Six is a little hard, believe it or not. Getting a little sassy, talking back a little. I saw her roll her eyes the other day, and I told her she was a tennis lesson, and I said, get out there with all your friends. Your coach is out there teaching. I am paying for this class. Get out there. I'm proud of you for just trying, but get out there. And she looked at me and she went, seriously? I said, we are bringing timeout back, young lady. He's like, come with me right now.
And then what happened?
But she was saying it sarcastically. She'll hear me say, seriously, Hayden, are you serious?
Yeah.
And then she's saying it back to me, but it was not really the appropriate time to say that.
Yep.
And
she learned that lesson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's such a cutie, though. I can't imagine her. She seems like the perfect angel, which she is.
Thank you.
But everybody gets older.
She's funny. She is awesome, and she's very smart, and she is so much fun. But it's funny, like, the conversations you'll have. Like, one day, when she was, like, I think three, she was doing squats. She saw me doing squats in the kitchen. Just, I don't know why I was doing that. But
Why are you doing squats
I like to
kitchen?
Work out. I think I was just like, maybe I had to get in a bathing suit the next
you
day.
Like
or something.
Five
Who
extra
knows?
Minutes. I do the
yeah,
same thing.
Yeah. And so she starts doing it with me and she goes, oh, exercising is annoying. And I was like,
well,
yes, it is.
I'm on Team Hayden for
right,
that.
Yeah. Right.
I love that she knew what annoying meant to
I know.
Three.
I know.
Like
but she said the other
things.
Day, I said, Hayden, you're not listening to me. It is time to go to bed. I have asked you. We are not going potty anymore. We're not getting any more milk. The kitchen is closed. No, it's not. I hear our babysitter in there right now. It's not closed. I'm like, she's
so
closing
smart.
It up.
Yeah,
she's closing up the kitchen.
Up
she's locking that door. And then she said, and she started crying, why is everyone yelling at me for not listening? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, today at school, I got in trouble for not listening. And I said, okay, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let me give you your alternatives. Do you want, why didn't you listen? I didn't hear the teacher.
Oh.
Who were you listening to? My friends. I said, okay, you're in her classroom. Always have your ear out for the teacher. And I, you know, we had that whole conversation. Tried to calm her down. She's real sensitive.
Yeah.
You're having boys, so I wonder what boys are going to be.
I don't
you
know.
Have the two boys.
Oh,
are they
sensitive?
They sensitive
to, my
I was very
little
sensitive
guy, Theodore, little. Is very sensitive.
Really?
Matthew was too, but he's going to be 14.
They're just so
I'm
precious.
I can tell you a lot of,
you know.
I mean, he's getting to be a teenager.
14,
yeah.
So is he into girls yet?
Oh, you
Not
could
really.
Say a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he's into girls probably more than
that. But is that 8th grade?
Yeah, it's 8th grade. Yeah, he is. But, you know, his buddies... It's funny, we watched the movie Stand By Me. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah,
we watched it with
that.
The boys.
Yeah.
And it's a really kind of great moment of that age that they're in right now where their buddies are everything.
Yeah.
Like
uh-huh.
Having best friends at the age of like 11 to 13 to 14, it's like you never forget that. It's just like this amazing age. And I think their buddies are really important to them right now, which is wonderful. But Theodore is very sensitive. And I have a really good story. He was being bullied in school during the whole Andrew Cuomo thing. So it was very interesting that I was going up against a big bully and my own son was in his classroom against a bully, was making fun of him every day. He would cry. There was phone calls to the teacher. There were phone calls to the principal. There was moving chairs around in the classroom. He was just, this kid was really mean to
what
Theodore.
What about his parents? Did anyone call his parents?
I don't know, to be honest with you. They didn't bring the parents in. I was at that point where I was going to do it on my own.
Right.
But then, you know, he would just take it. He would just, you know, come home and I would say, listen, you've got such good friends. You know, there are people that are like that, unfortunately, and you just have to sort of ignore them or get away from them or tell the teacher. And then there was one day where he came home, and I'll never forget this. And he said, Mom, you know, the bully, he started yelling at my buddy, I'll call him Johnny. He started, you know, being mean to my friend Johnny. And all of a sudden, I went up to him and I said, don't be mean to Johnny. Why are you always so mean to people?
Oh, good.
And I said, Theodore, the fact that you stood up for your buddy against the bully is a big lesson because it takes a lot of courage to stand up for yourself, but it takes even more courage to stand up for others.
Yes.
And so, and now fast forward, even though the kid is still not the greatest kid, they have started to sort of get along, that he would even call him a little bit of a friend. And so that evolution, I'm just so, I don't know, I told him, I said, you know, you might have had a part of that, of him becoming nicer because you spoke out. Yeah.
I hate to think of him being sad about being bullied,
though,
or anybody being bullied.
It was so sad, but you know.
We need to pray that that little boy's heart changes, though. Yeah. Because if you, I don't know about y'all, but your faith kind of keeps you from doing things like that. And if you are mean to someone accidentally, you apologize later because you feel so bad about it. You feel convicted.
Yeah. And it's difficult now. I feel like because there's so much, you know, like hands off with teachers almost, like you can't get in there at all.
Right.
And it's like so politically correct. Like, let's just move the classroom around instead of really addressing the program or
sometimes
the problem.
Parents are like defend their child if they do that.
Or sometimes
they say, not my child.
Yeah. Or sometimes bullies are bullies because they're being bullied at home or something like that.
Of
so you never know what kids are
you
going
never
through,
know.
But that's sad.
You never know. But, you know, it just goes to show you, you can have big bullies in life and you can have bullies in the in the schoolyard. And there's always a lesson to be learned.
Yeah.
But he's better now. You know, he has so many good friends. And and the one kid, you know, they kind of, he'll come home and say, so-and-so, oh, yeah, he got in trouble today. So I just think it's the kid.
It's
he's the got
kid.
Some issues. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's, I mean, I was bullied in school, too.
Yeah.
I used to be a little bit, right?
Yeah. Gym class.
A little bit, too.
I was never athletic and I was the tallest person.
Aww.
Like, out of everybody.
You got
all
bullied
the girls,
for being tall?
All the boys. Yeah, I think that kids get bullied for anything that makes them a little different when you're that age. So for me, it was definitely height. And, you know, you go through the awkward phase.
Yeah.
I still remember the kids that bullied me who now are wonderful people.
What?
And have children and are great. But yeah, I mean,
you kept in touch with those people?
Well, I think with Facebook and stuff like that, it's a little easier now. did I just age you? I didn't mean to laugh.
No. This is because you just reminded me of a story. There was a girl in school. I was probably in seventh grade, and I had to take French immersion in school, and I was always afraid to speak French out loud. And I remember her saying, like, that Janice has a terrible voice. And I was like,
well, listen to you now.
I went home and I was crying and I was like, Louise said I had a terrible voice in school, Mom. And look at me now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Truly take golden pipes. For me, like I said, it was gym class. And I remember I would pray about volleyball. I just hated just the ball coming to me and me not knowing what to do. So I would, I'm going to cry thinking about it. I would pray about it. And then I would like take a little piece of paper or like I'd crumple it up and I'd like practice against my wall. Serving
little Carly.
Why kids getting bullied just it just hits a chord, I think, with everybody because we've all been there.
Yeah.
And there's just such sweet innocence that you never want anybody like that young and
it's true.
To feel bad. But yeah.
Well, you're going to be a great mama.
Thank you.
And you are a great mama.
Yes,
thank you. And you are too.
And to be continued, because I want to do a program where we have all of us and we're giving you good, you know, mom fun advice. How about that?
I need it.
Can I say one thing? This coming weekend, I'm going to be in Charleston, South Carolina on Friday.
Yes.
And then I'll be in Ponte Vedra on Sunday.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity's interviewing me for that. And then on Friday,
is that going to air?
It's anyone can go. So I just want people who are listening
event.
To you
oh,
to come.
Wonderful.
And, you can get a signed book and you can meet us.
That's live? They should put that, like they should make a Fox Nation special out of that. You being interviewed by Sean Hannity about your children's book.
Well, maybe I'll tell him to come down there. That's not a bad idea.
We still have time.
Okay. We are doing a Bible study, Fox Nation Bible study on this.
Okay.
We'll air this week too.
And where can they go to find out all of this good stuff?
AinsleyE.com.
AinsleyE.
Yeah. We need to plug that more on Fox and Friends because I find that Brian Kilmeade is always plugging BrianKilmeade.com.
As we look at the television flash and it's a Brian Kilmeade promo.
He's everywhere, that guy. So we need to promote your .com.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, ladies. I love you very much.
We love you.
I love you both.
Congratulations on the podcast.
Congratulations on the podcast, the book.
Thanks, the baby.
And the baby.
And the baby.
Yeah.
The podcast, the book,
baby.
And the baby.
That could be the title of our...
Maybe.
Our
Why
monthly
not?
Special.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yes.
We've got the podcast, the book, and the baby.
I love it.
I love you.
Love
you.
Love
you, too, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that flew by so fast. honestly, I think I could do a daily podcast with Carly and Ainsley. They are so fun to talk to. Ainsley's book, I'm So Glad You Were Born, comes out tomorrow. And I can't wait to have a baby shower podcast for Carly very soon. If you have any suggestions for the podcast, please let me know. I love hearing from you. On Twitter and Facebook, I'm at Janice Dean and Janice Dean FNC on Instagram. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at foxnewspodcast.com. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.